Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour two. It is so great to have you in live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Joy is in a good mood all week. Miami Heat keep winning. Miami Dolphins won last night. This is as happy as I've ever seen Joy Taylor. She got on the digital board of the NBA playoff games.
I did. I had a strong week.
You had a very strong. You were all over America.
I did.
It's very rare in your life. This has happened very rarely to me because I'm from the Pacific Northwest and our teams don't win. That everything's winning for you.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go too crazy with the Dolphins, but
their schedule's actually, what's funny about the Dolphins, their schedule late in the year, it gets easier. So if they can start piling up some wins now, there's always a team that makes the playoffs and we're all like, whoa, that's way ahead of schedule. Maybe it's Miami.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right, just throwing it out there. But it's great to have you in. All of our odds are always provided by Fox Bet when we do our Blazing Five. So far, we've just kind of chopped it up 4-6 on the year. And as I've said, we had no preseason. We didn't really know. We don't know what we have. But I do feel after two games, you do sort of get a sense of, okay, this team does this well, but really poorly. And I do think if you know, like I said before, is I've seen, you know, Cleveland play a great team and what we think is a bad team, and they do two things really well and two things really bad. You kind of get a sense now of what teams are. So here we go. Here's our Blazing Five, and I love my picks.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Rams at Bills.
I'll take the Bills -2.5. This is a really strong play. Like it, I love it. Buffalo is a home favorite, is 12-2 in the last 3 years. When they have momentum and the right team, they're pretty darn good. They're the only team in the league, top five offense and defense. You see on the screen there the improvement of young Josh Allen. Only the Patriots allow fewer points per game than the Bills since the start of last year. And their run defense is absolutely exceptional, and that's what the Rams rely on. The Rams will not run it like they have the first 2 weeks, forcing Jared Goff on the road to throw more than he's comfortable with. I'm taking the Bills -2.5 to win 27-21.
Raiders at Patriots.
I'll take New England, the number now -5.5 Patriots. Oh, by the way, the best team in the NFL, New England, after a loss, 27-8 in the last decade. Easily the best in the league, all right? The Raiders are on a short week. They played Monday Night Football, have to travel cross-country. Maybe the biggest Raider win in years. Highly emotional. And the Raiders do something very poorly. They allow 6.5 yards a play. They don't give a ton over the top, but you can slice them up 6 yards at a time. What does Cam and the New England offense do well? Get 6 yards at a time. New England's not going to burn you over the top much. They don't have a vertical threat. This will be a dominant New England time of possession game. Cam, 6 yards. N'Keal Harry, Edelman, they'll 6-yard the Raiders to death. I take the Patriots winning by more than a field goal, 34-26.
Bengals at Eagles.
Upset of the week, I'm taking Cincinnati +5. Remember, no fans in Philadelphia. This is not the same Philadelphia for a young quarterback, Joe Burrow. He's not facing a rowdy Eagle crowd. He's getting 5 points. And Cincinnati played on Thursday. So the young quarterback gets 3 extra days of prep. Carson Wentz has been all over the board in the last 6 games. 8 sacks, 4 picks this year, both tied for the most of any quarterback. I don't know if Philadelphia's locker room is good. They also have the most giveaways this year. This is a Philadelphia team that is in flux. It is a strangely confident 0-2 Bengal team that feels great about itself. They upset the Eagles in the fanless stadium in Philly, 27-24 Cincinnati.
Texans at Steelers.
I love Houston +4.5 in this spot. Not sure they win the game, but think about this. So we're judging Houston because they lost to Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Everybody's going to lose to Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. The Steelers still make too many mistakes. They have at least one giveaway in 25 straight games. At least one. Their offense, now this, a lot of this is backup quarterbacks. But the Steelers' offensive line run blocking this year has been atrocious. What does that mean? You're going to give Deshaun Watson 12, 13, 14 possessions. And the number here is just simply too big. Houston's going to feel desperate. They've lost to great teams. Pittsburgh is not a great team. They're a talented but limited, flawed team. Pittsburgh wins, but I'm taking the 4.5 points, 27-26 Steelers.
Bucks at Broncos.
Like it. I love it. Tampa Bay minus 6. Does everybody understand? Here's what the Broncos are since the start of last season when Drew Lock doesn't play. 3-8. They have a winning record when he does play. They're not a good football team. They can't score without him. 9 touchdowns, 7 picks. Jeff Driscoll's 1-7 as a starter. But this is about defense. New England has totally shut down Alvin Kamara. Last week, they shut down Christian McCaffrey. What are the Broncos right now offensively if they can't run the football? They're Jeff Driscoll. Tom, this is like, a lot of times a touchdown favorite goes on the road as a little lackadaisical. Nobody's focused like Tampa Bay right now. They think they are not playing well, and their defense has actually been absolutely on fire. I think this game could get ugly by the second half. I'll go Bucks 27-17. I think I'm being a little conservative on that. I think we could have ourselves a blowout, but I will take Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, TB, to win and cover. I love my picks this week. Absolutely love them. So there you go. If you just tuned in late, Buffalo, New England, and Tampa as favorites, and Cincinnati plus 5 to upset the Eagles, and Houston plus 4.5 to cover, lose narrowly to Pittsburgh. God, I love gambling. All odds provided by Foxbet. There's a lot of pressure being a quarterback in this league, and there should be. You're the face of the franchise. We talked about that 10 minutes ago. It's a lot of pressure. There is one quarterback that is different than all of them in this league. He plays for the pure joy of the game. He's 37 years old. Nobody's ever really truly outside of Buffalo for about an hour wanted to build around him. And he's totally okay with it. He went to an Ivy League institution, Harvard. He's the Big Lebowski. Chill, dude. Just have some fun, man. Don't freak out. Ryan Fitzpatrick. The reason people won't build around him is because he's maddeningly inconsistent. He once had a game with 6 touchdowns and no picks. He also, Joy, had a game with no touchdowns and 6 picks. But last night, he's been on 8 different teams. He knows exactly what he is. He has no ego. He has no problem being a placeholder for Tua. I would want him on every football team I've ever had as a backup. He is the dude without the bathrobe and without the bowling alley. He's the dude. Last night, he did what he often does. You watch him and think, damn, that guy's good. Ryan Fitzpatrick's the kind of guy that if he showed up in a park, Central Park in New York, and there was a bunch of jocks playing football, he'd walk over and you go, oh, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And all the guys would think, I'm not that far from him. I bet I can beat him. And then he would show you how great professional athletes are, and he would humiliate you. He may not look it, but what he does last night is what he's been doing for a long time, and he plays for the utter joy of the game. Congratulations to Fitzy and the Dolphins, and here he was afterwards.
It's why I still play. I enjoy playing. So, you know, especially when you're having success, when you're driving the ball down the field, scoring touchdowns. I mean, I just, you know, I feel like the luckiest guy in the world sometimes getting to go outside and play football with my friends.
Here's what he looked like interviewing after the game. Nobody in the history of Miami has ever dressed like that and not been 3 margaritas in. That, again, I know what you're saying. Colin is a franchise quarterback. As I said, there is nobody like him in the league. He is not a franchise quarterback. He is a placeholder. He is an eight different team guy. He is a journeyman. He is six touchdowns, no picks, followed by no touchdowns and six picks. He is a complete outlier in the NFL. Plays for the pure joy of the game, and there is always room for one quarterback like that. I don't want my franchise quarterback to be, but there's room for Ryan. For about four more weeks, and then we move to Tua, who I want to wear his hat on forward and be the franchise face of the Miami Dolphins. Coming up next, Eric Mangini, the former NFL coach. I'm shocked by New England. I think he's shocked by New England. And now they face the Raiders, who's shocking everybody but John Gruden and Raider Nation. That's coming up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Life-changing sleep, Casper.com. Code is always Herd. They have the original mattress right now, 15% off. It's fantastic. Joy Taylor is joining me, as you know. Joy and I, a joy to the world. Heat win tonight. They're in the championship. It's going to be unbelievable.
I can't even.
Pat Riley again. By the way, Pat Riley against the Lakers. Oh, my God.
It's Kyle Riley against the Lakers. I mean, LeBron against the Heat.
What an unbelievable. That is a great outside of. I think that's even better than Celtics Lakers. I mean, it's got so many storylines.
It does have more storylines,
like,
yes.
LeBron facing Spoelstra. Oh, my God. That could be unbelievable.
Got to get through tonight.
So I want to say this. Joy and I have talked about this. Whether or not you love LeBron, LeBron gets guys to buy in. He got Chris Bosh, an all-star, to buy in. To change his game and to be a third guy. Chris Bosh was a star in high school, a star in college, and a star in the NBA. You'll be our third guy, going to move you away from the basket, change your game. He got Kevin Love, multiple all-star. He had a team, Minnesota, to go to Cleveland and totally change his game. LeBron got Anthony Davis. From the first week, Joy and I said, we don't know if the Lakers are good, but God, the chemistry's unbelievable. LeBron gets the buy-in. He briefly, by the way, he's gotten Dwight Howard, an eight-time All-Star, to just be the backup center. Dwight's playing with an energy he hasn't played with for a year. He gets Rondo, a former star in this league. You're not going to play as much as Caruso. Can you do this? And let me just say this. This is kind of not even a theory of mine, but I believe this to be true. I think it's much harder to do that in basketball than any other sport, and here's why. In football, you can be a great player, but you always have an assignment and a role. Quentin Nelson is the best guard in football for the Colts. In high school, college, and the pros, block your man. You don't get the ball. You have a role. In baseball, you're a second baseman. You're never going to hit cleanup. Be good defensively, hit 280. That's your role. But in basketball, it's different. Almost everybody in the NBA is the man in high school and is the man in AAU and is the man in college or is the man in the G League. And in the NBA, you have to ask him to don't shoot. What? No. You're not even going to know. You just play a role. In hockey, the goalie, stop the puck. Defenseman, you've got a role. It's not about scoring. Every sport, high school, junior leagues to the pros, to college to the pros, you mostly have roles. But in basketball, we ask unbelievably talented people. Bruce Bowen was a scorer in high school and college. Greg Popovich says, you just play defense now, no shooting. It is hard to get a lot of people in the NBA to buy in. LeBron not only does it, he gets stars to buy in. He got Chris Bosh, Kyrie. And, you know, Anthony Davis is not giving up points, but he gets stars, dominant scores. Hey, buy into this thing. I'm going to kind of control the team. Kyrie, I'll handle the ball. Kyrie got sick of it, but he bought into it. I think it's one of the amazing things about LeBron James. He gets the buy-in, and I think basketball's always been harder to ask for the buy-in because almost everybody in the NBA was the best player in high school and the best scorer and the best scorer in AAU and the best scorer in college. And then you go to the NBA and you're often even an all-star in your own team. And then LeBron asks you to, you go over there and I'll take control of the team and you do this and I'm going to change the way you play and Kevin Love get away from the basket. And it's impressive. Eric Mangini is now joining me. My guy, former NFL coach two times, joining me via the Coward Global Satellite Network. You know, I said earlier, the Cowboys offense reminds me of a political ad, regardless of what, if you're a Democrat or a Republican, is that it's slick and that it's glossy, but it's not really the truth, right? Like you're showing that Dallas last year in six different games, either threw in garbage points late to make a blowout look close, or in three games, Saints, Patriots, Eagles, where you actually needed one touchdown drive, you know, in the second half, they couldn't provide it. That I think it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. It's a lot of political ad. It's real glossy and slick and a lot of stats. But I don't trust their offense against Seattle. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and like a political ad, they're not that interesting. You watch Dallas play, and but for the grace of the football gods, they really should be 0-2. There's no way that they should have won this past game, and it's frustrating to watch. And I don't know if it's the function of they're supposed to have a franchise quarterback and a franchise running back and a franchise wide receiver, and they've gotten all this help, and there's continuity with the offensive coordinator, and there's an offensive head coach, so you're expecting a lot. But as you watch it, you don't feel like they're explosive in the way you think of Kansas City or when you think of New Orleans when they're hitting. It just doesn't seem the same way. It doesn't feel the same way. And for as good as the offensive line is supposed to be, there's guys playing in all different spots. There's been inconsistent blocking, and it's been disappointing to this point. I agree with you. It's not what it seems or what it should be.
Yeah. Now they face Seattle. Russell Wilson, I think you've everybody's always liked him. He feels different this year. What is it? What do you see?
Well, look, I know everybody wants the let Russ cook and is excited about what he's done. He's had a great start to the year. I think it's 84% completion. But one of the things that they did really well last year was rein things in. And people got frustrated because they didn't let Russell do as much as they thought he could. But if you look at the year before, Colin, he was sacked almost 11% of the time. That's like historic sack numbers. And it put him behind the sticks. It created turnovers, self-inflicted wounds. I caution Seattle not to get too caught up with either direction. Don't go the extreme they had last year where he didn't get the opportunities. But if you want to keep going down this route, he's going to default to those numbers that he had, which is the high eights, the high nines, the high tens, and sacks. And I don't think you have to do that. You don't have to be this extreme, and I don't think it's sustainable either.
You live in Cleveland, so you have thoughts on the Cleveland Browns, and you actually hear a lot and know a lot, and you used to coach them. And it's interesting because they play Washington with extra time to prepare. This should be a win for them. This is a quarterback now with some legs. It's a lot of offensive weapons, and it's a Washington team in a rebuild mode with a young quarterback. So two things. There is a big upcoming stretch for Baker Mayfield. The next 4 weeks, he plays the three best pass rushes in the league statistically, Washington, Colts, and Steelers. He has not been good under pressure. I believe that organizations make decisions privately long before they make them publicly. In a league where many of the best young quarterbacks are actually very good against pressure, he's awful against it. If he struggles in this four-game stretch against pressure, do you think decisions will be made from a new GM and a new coach who have no loyalty to him?
Well, their ability to make the decision on the quarterback is also going to be based off of how well they do in terms of coaching and managing the team over the course of the year. I think the owner has a pretty strong influence on the decisions that are made. But the greatest thing that Cleveland can do is run the ball. If you don't want your quarterback pressured, and you've got two running backs like they have, and you can run the ball as effectively as they have, it slows everything down. Pass rushers have to deal with the run first. Even when they want to tee off, because there's that threat, they've got to take that into consideration. All the play action is that much more effective. The way that they can help Baker, and the way that Baker has been the most successful, is by setting up and relying on the running game, then using the play action, and he's a different guy. If you want to turn him into just a passer, it's not going to work, and it's not going to be successful for him or Stefanski.
So sometimes I can't explain stuff. I love Carson Wentz. Why is Carson Wentz so bad right now? What is happening with Carson Wentz, a guy I love?
You know, I went back and watched both games, coach's copy, just to look at these plays. And the Washington game, to me, was somewhat mismanaged. They're up 17-0. They've got the ball on a two-minute drive, and they try to throw a deep out. The throw wasn't that bad. The read was exactly right. It was the receiver could have helped him and come back to the ball. So it gets picked up or picked off, and Washington goes in with momentum. They start the second half. He gets picked off on almost the identical throw, almost the identical situation. Momentum shifts, and then panic sets in, and they're going for it on fourth and two and fourth and three, giving Washington short fields. And there's no way they should have lost that game, and he didn't really play that bad. And when you look at the second game, they're down 21-3 quickly.
Yeah.
And there's a turnover early, and he comes back, and he's got a chance to take the lead at the start of the second half. And he throws another ball that's really not that bad a ball, and it's still a good read, and it's a good defensive play. But when he was really good, and people forget this, he had a much better supporting cast. He had a much stronger defense. Now it feels like there's all this pressure on him, and they're putting him in some tough situations, and he's trying to make plays and press plays because he doesn't feel as confident in the rest of the supporting cast.
Shift to Cam Newton. He and Edelman had a monster night on the road. I was surprised by that relationship. N'Keal Harry, I did think Cam would probably be a nice new fit for him. Tom, you know, I said this last week or earlier this week, is that Cam looks at N'Keal Harry as a young, talented weapon. Tom looked at him as a guy that couldn't get to the right spot. You know, but the Edelman-Cam relationship, I was surprised by how effective it was. Were you?
Look, I've been surprised at the relationship of Cam with the Patriots in every aspect. I was surprised that they signed him. I was surprised that he, you know, he's acted or taken the approach that he's taken. I've been surprised by every aspect of this, and I was probably the biggest skeptic. But I would imagine his relationship with the receivers, he's going to have a little bit different bond with the younger guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure those guys used to play Cam in Madden. And with Edelman, he just realizes that it's reliable and it's always going to be there, and usually it's going to be open, and usually he's going to catch it. So I think that'll continue to grow.
Finally, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the ageless one. What do you make of him? Why is he still in the league? I mean, he's hot and cold. What do you make of him?
Well, I think the Fitz Magic moniker is perfect because at the end of each game, he's usually going to make somebody's victory disappear. And it's either it's yours or theirs, because you don't know which guy's going to show up. And this has been the way he was since Buffalo. If you get him when he's hot, he is so hard to deal with. He's exciting. He can make, you know, incredible throws. And then you flip the switch, and the next game it's, you know, 2, 3, 4 interceptions or fumble, and it's just terrible. And you look at him, and he's a smart guy. He's, I'm sure, a great mentor for young players. He's probably great to have on your team, and he excites you. But then he also realized that, you know, he's going to give away about 40% of the games and win about 60, kind of like his TD to interception ratio, and that gets frustrating.
Yeah. Eric Mangini, good talking to you, Coach. Thanks for coming on a Friday. We appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, Cam and Edelman last week, it's not that they're, you know, you knew they'd be a good running team, but Cam and Edelman had like a, I mean, I don't know the numbers in front. Did Brady and Edelman have that many games that good? I mean, Edelman had like 165 yards. That's insane. Cam and him just met. They just met a month ago. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Jets are not having a good start to their season, and it's only getting worse. They're one of the most banged-up teams right now, and they face the Colts on Sunday. They'll likely be without their top running back, 3 of their wide receivers, and 2 of their starting offensive linemen.
Oh, great.
When Gase was asked about potential injury replacements, he said whoever has a pulse right now...
It's unbelievable. Look at their receiving running back.
We're ready to go.
It's all offense. I mean, again, so Sam Darnold's going to get shelled this weekend. I mean, at some point... They have no receivers. They have a scout team receiving core.
They do have a lot of injuries. However, I just feel like So Antonio Cromartie was on with us yesterday.
Yeah.
And you asked him about Adam Gase. And he had a very strong response to Gase. Let's listen to him real quick.
He's getting the leeway of Peyton Manning giving him his blessings of being a great coach, which is not the key. He hasn't been a great coach since he's been a head coach. He wants to be the face of the franchise. He doesn't want anybody else to be the face of the franchise. He wants it to be where if they're having success, it's all about Adam Gase and how he's did things and how he's changed everything around in the organization and not about the guys that are actually out on the football field.
Trouble. Can't get along with stars? I don't know anything to be true. All I know is this. Peyton Manning likes him, but Ryan Tannehill got better when he left him. That's what really bothers me. If Tannehill goes to Tennessee and bombs, you're like, Gase has got
which
something.
Is what,
that's what usually happens for an offensive genius. Tannehill's now better without him.
They do have a lot of injuries,
yes.
But they've got a lot of injuries and a lot of smoke. Yeah. It's not a really good start for the Jets season. So Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson will meet for the third time in their careers Monday night. Great weekend of games this weekend. And the Chiefs have come out on top in the two previous games. And Patrick Mahomes is ready for Lamar to focus on facing him the way he used to focus on facing Tom Brady.
I had a very similar situation with playing Tom Brady. I mean, I had won all those games my first year, but I lost to Tom twice. And so I understand that he's going to be driven. I mean, whenever you're playing another team that is of his caliber and then our team and how we're coming off the Super Bowl win, it's going to be a great game.
I'm looking forward to watching these two play each other for many years to
come. That's going
to
be – I like Baltimore in that game.
Yeah.
What I like about Baltimore, Kansas City falls into holes. This is what they do. Baltimore at home is going to get a lead. The question is, can they hang on to it? And unless Kansas City's run defense is tip-top, I think Baltimore eats the clock, gets a lead. In fact, if I could bet anything, it's Baltimore takes the lead. That's what they do. Kansas City's always playing from behind. And I think going on the road, playing a great team, trailing, I'll take Baltimore.
Well, it's going to be a great Monday night game. So the Cowboys pulled off a stunning win against the Falcons last week, and Hall of Famer Michael Irvin thinks that the comeback may have been the best thing to happen to the team.
When you have a game like this, the aroma stays in your nostrils all year long, the rest of the year. Whenever you're down, and you will be down, you can pull on that. Something like this can propel you to greater things. Long as you know, as long as we stay together, we can pull on what we've done before and make it happen again.
Or they were just really lucky to win the onside kick.
Yeah, I get it, right? Like, theoretically, yes, right? Like, they did show poise and not falling apart, not getting down with all the fumbles and just giving up.
They had fight. You got to give them credit. They never quit.
They never quit.
I love it.
And you have to love that from a moral victory standpoint and... to what Michael's talking about, you can refer back to that later in the year when you guys are down. Remember, we were down to the Falcons. It was like, no chance we win the game. No chance we convert on this onside kick. They're going to forget how to play special teams. We can do it. But it's the Falcons. And no disrespect to the Falcons, but they really know how to lose in dramatic fashion.
Yeah, yeah, they
so,
do.
So, like, in theory, yes. And I do think that there are intangible elements to winning games and coming up in big moments.
Oh,
it's not all just talent.
There's
you
no question.
Have a fearless intensity and confidence that you can do it. But you also are playing the Falcons. The next four opponents are the Seahawks at the Seahawks this weekend, the Browns, Giants, and the Cardinals. So,
well, they should win three of those four. If you look at their roster, they should beat Arizona, believe it or not. I feel they're in a little bit still of a rebuild, a really good rebuilding team, but I don't think their defense is complete yet.
So they should beat the Browns, Giants, and Cardinals.
They better beat the Giants. The Giants appear to be, along with the Jets, the worst team in the league. At least the Jets have an excuse. None of their offensive players are healthy outside of Darnold and their left tackle.
Yeah, a little bit.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Oh, Lord. What is crazy? So tonight, Heat, Celtics. It's unbelievable. The NBA has always been a story league. Like the NFL, we watch, we bet, fantasy sports. NBA is a story league. A lot of times we don't watch the games, but the stories are great. If you get a Riley and Spoelstra in Miami face the guy that left them LeBron, and then you get the Lakers, who were all about Pat Riley 30 years ago, what a finals. That is just nothing but stories. Stanford Rout, the former Raider, is going to be joining us. He was with the Raiders. Does he buy into Gruden and that offense and this team and that Monday Night Football win over the Saints? Are the Raiders a lot better than everybody thought?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
When it comes to reaching health goals, it's about changing mindset and habits. It's about Noom. Get started today. Free trial. Go to noom.com/herd. Noom.com/herd. Stanford Rout played in the NFL for 8 seasons, 7 of them with the Raiders. So he knows the culture. He understands sort of the sensibility of the Raiders, who had, I think, Joy, their biggest win in years on Monday Night Football against a Super Bowl favorite, the Saints, and Stanford Rout played with them for a long time. He joins us now live. So to you, what's been the key to the Raiders' early season success, Stanford?
Well, I think it's a multitude of factors. I think that the defense is playing well. They're finding ways to get off the field whenever they need to. You saw Carolina get the big stop to go ahead and secure the win. They go against New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football. They mix up some coverages. They start off the game down by 10 in the late first quarter and then find a way to go ahead and start mustering up some stops, confusing Drew Brees a little bit. And then I got to go to Derek Carr. He's been very efficient, 73 completion percentage so far this year, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and then the run game as well. I think that those three factors have been extremely big and extremely paramount in the Raiders' 2-0 start so far.
Yeah, they love to run the football. That's Gruden's history. Derek Carr, what do guys think about Derek Carr in the league? What's his reputation among defensive backs?
Well, you know, Colin, I had Eric Harris starting safety for the Raiders on my podcast recently, and he told me exactly that everybody outside, maybe even in the front office, may have their own qualms, may have their own disappointments, things like that about Derek Carr. But everyone in that locker room is locked and loaded, fully behind him as the guy that can go ahead and lead them to where they want to go. Because you saw in 2016, he was an MVP candidate. They went 12-4. Obviously, when he got injured against the Indianapolis Colts, a little bit of kind of like a nosedive after that. But now it seems like he's getting on the same page with John Gruden, understanding John Gruden's mentality and coaching style. So maybe there's people outside that are a little bit shocked at the Raiders' success so far early on, but nobody in that locker room by any stretch of the imagination is shocked or surprised right now.
It looks like Drew Brees is declining. His age is obvious. I mean, what are you seeing as a DB? When do you notice the old quarterback is not just old, but he's declining?
Well, Colin, we all know that Father Time is undefeated. We all know that Drew Brees is not no spring chicken. We all know that. But I really don't think it's just that. I think it's a multitude, a myriad of factors that are all accumulating to the Saints struggling early on. Because I'll ask you this. How did the Saints look in the preseason?
Well, they didn't have a preseason, yeah.
Exactly. Nobody had a preseason. So when you factor in how they just added Emmanuel Sanders in the offseason, no preseason, no training camp to go ahead and create that chemistry, getting on the same page with him. They start off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay's got a pretty good defense, got a really, really good front seven.
Yeah.
And then they go to the Las Vegas Raiders, who did a good job of confusing him, mixing up some coverages, taking away the deep ball, taking away the shot, forcing him to throw checkdowns. And then also remember, there was no Michael Thomas, his all-pro receiver. So I think when you go ahead and add all of that into one, that is why the Saints are struggling early on throughout the season.
You know, it's interesting. We are seeing almost all of the 2-0 quarterbacks except Jared Goff are mobile. And even Jared Goff, the Rams move him around a lot in the pocket. They've got him rolling all over the place.
Oh, yes.
So Cam, is now that he's healthy, is back to being very, very effective. When you watch them against Seattle, your thoughts just again on facing what appears to be the new style of the position, which is moving, rolling. How much did it create headaches for you in your career?
Man, Colin, I tell you this. I always hated it whenever we were going against a mobile quarterback because we played a lot of man coverage in Oakland. And that makes you have to be that much better, that much more on your technique, because whenever he breaks the pocket, he can run or he can scramble to throw like a Russell Wilson. So it just adds so much more of a dimension, an extra dimension to the game that you have to now deal with as a DB. And then if it's a guy like a Cam Newton, 6'5", 250, rocked up, 4% body fat. Now you got to come up and tackle. It's hard enough tackling a running back that's 220 or 215. But tackling a 250-pound power forward, believe me, that is no easy task and something that most DBs, especially me, do not want to have to deal with for a lot of plays in the game.
You know, we see a lot of quarterbacks. Kyler Murray's young and flourishing. Josh Allen's still pretty young. Got Justin Herbert last week. Joe Burrow. They're succeeding at a high level. When you were in the league and you were facing a young quarterback, are there tricks? Because I'll tell you what, whatever people are doing against these young quarterbacks is not working because they're all exceptional.
Well, I think that I think it's twofold. Well, number one, whenever you're going against a young quarterback, you want to try to go ahead and confuse him. You want to throw some exotic blitzes, some coverages that he may not have seen back in his college days that'll go ahead and get him to throw right into coverage or something like that. Now, for a lot of these young quarterbacks and everything matriculating into the NFL game, you see so much of the college offense, a lot of the spread game, a lot of the RPO, the run-pass option, that's being brought in to the NFL game along with them as they enter the league. That's why you're seeing such more of a seamless transition for these young quarterbacks in the game and why they're having much more success earlier on than the old regime. We're going to go ahead, draft a guy in the first round, sit him for a year or two, and then go ahead and just ease him into the lineup.
Finally, huge Monday Night Football game. Ravens host Kansas City. And you played for the Texans briefly. They've gotten beat by both, so I don't think the Texans are that bad. I just think they face the two best teams in the league. Who do you like Monday, Baltimore or Kansas City, and why?
Kansas City. Because they got Pat Mahomes. And Pat Mahomes, we all know Lamar Jackson won the NFL MVP award last year. But Pat Mahomes won the Super Bowl MVP award last year. And simply because Pat Mahomes can make every throw on the field. I love how Lamar Jackson has gotten better from rookie year up until now, becoming one of the better passers in the league. But Pat Mahomes is simply on another level. I mean, you see the rollout that he had against the LA Chargers on Sunday, throwing, rolling to his right, and hits Tariq Hill, the cheetah, fastest guy in the league, in stride for the touchdown. So Pat Mahomes is just simply in a different stratosphere right now than any other quarterback in the league. That's why I give the edge to Kansas City on Monday night.
Stanford Route, great seeing you. Look great as always. Appreciate you coming on the herd, bud.
Appreciate you, Colin. You know I love being on, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, Stanford Route's got a podcast. He's always talking to current players, always got good new information. I like Baltimore in that game. I just worry about a troubling trend, which is Kansas City falls behind by everybody they play. And I don't think this Baltimore team in a salary cap era is about as deep as I've seen. It's hard in the salary cap. You got a hole somewhere. You don't have a pass rush. You don't have vertical tight ends. You don't have depth at running back. There's always an – you got a bad right tackle. They don't have any weaknesses. They lost Earl Thomas. They're still fine in the secondary. In fact, I still think it's one of the top two secondaries in the NFL. So that's good. It's really an interesting weekend. You get some really interesting battles. You get two young quarterbacks, Goff against Jared Allen, or Josh Allen. So that's a really interesting. You get two icons, Aaron Rodgers against Drew Brees. And then you get Monday night, you get the two ascending superstars, Lamar Jackson against Patrick Mahomes. So it's a weekend of some fascinating quarterback battles. I'll tell you, the game that we won't talk a ton about, but I do think it's interesting, Cleveland hosting Washington. This is interesting for a lot of reasons. I think Cleveland's going to make a decision over the next 4 to 5 weeks on Baker Mayfield. Cleveland had 10 days to prepare for this. So the Bengals in Cleveland played on a Thursday night game. So they have, it's a real advantage in the NFL. You get to get healthy and you get way more prep time. So I have the Bengals upsetting the Eagles this week because of that. And I think the Eagles, there's a lot of unrest. And I have Cleveland, I don't have him in my Blazing Five, but I do think Cleveland will beat Washington. But the interesting part is, statistically, the data shows that Baker is really struggling last 2 years with pressure. Washington may have the best pass rush in the league. So this could get, if they can't protect Baker Mayfield, you may have a situation where Baker, forget the Colts coming up, forget the Steelers coming up, forget all that. If they can't get past Washington, you're going to have chaos in Cleveland. Check engine light comes on. Don't freak out. Get carshield.com. Auto protection provider. Carshield.com. Code HERD. Save 10%. A deductible may apply.